1
2
3
4
5
6
6 Why did you say 6, Ben? Ladies and gentlemen and everybody else, welcome to Free to a Good Home, the internet's only remaining funny podcast after the government banned all the others. And that's why protesters are in the streets as we speak, Ben. They are punching horses.
God,
they are.
That was huge of the Prime Minister to do. It was huge. It was a boon for us, but it was a real slap in the face to a lot of content creators and podcast
Will Anderson,
listeners everywhere.
Illegal. Little Dum Dum Club, illegal.
Illegal.
Big Soft Titty, very illegal. I mean,
already that was illegal before the Prime Minister made that announcement. But what interests me, Michael, is that it's not just our Prime Minister. All other podcasts. It's been a worldwide sort of coordinated global effort. I'm not one for UN conspiracies, but this really does smack of those pencil pushers in Geneva. How are you doing, Michael? Should we bring in our guest?
We should indeed. Speaking of pencil pushers in Geneva, she walks the halls of power. She is one of the most terrifying people on Twitter and elsewhere. Please welcome to our fucking show, Dee Fidge. G'day, Dee.
Thank you so much for having me. What an intro.
What
I'm
an
so
intro.
Scary.
Was it slightly a little bit more aggressive? Sorry.
Very aggressive. No, I like it. I like it.
How are you, Dee?
Oh, absolutely flourishing. Just thriving. Yeah. Just loving life.
Now, it's probably not like a very... it's probably not a nice thing to say to somebody, I'm flourishing, and then have them laugh in your face.
Well, I think there's no other way to answer that question, though, is there? Because you don't want to be like, I'm so grim. So I've kind of gone full Joker where everything's funny now to me.
Yeah.
Like
sure.
The other day I was Googling, like, am I delirious?
Uh-huh.
Which I think the Joker would have done that.
I feel like if you have the wherewithal to operate Google and spell the word delirious, potentially you're not as delirious as you might be worried you are.
No. But with autocorrect, you can mash anything in there and it'll be like, did you mean delirious?
Yeah. You could have been like, am I defidge? And they would have been like, yeah. Do you mean delirious?
None of this may have even happened.
Well, exactly. That's why we're the Shutter Island of podcasts.
Always saying that.
But I have to apologize to you both. I was late to the podcast record today by several minutes.
Yeah, I noticed. It's gone in the book. It's gone in the book of things that Hing has done to wrong me.
And the reason I was wrong is because I was trying to clean myself for the podcast.
Yucky.
I was having what you call a shower, Ben.
Uh-huh.
We're recording this in the morning and I'd woken up and I'd done a little bit of work and then I thought I don't want to have a shower before I do the podcast. And I've added
because
a few...
Michael, this is a Zoom podcast.
It's a remote record, but I just don't want to feel gross when I'm trying to be funny. That's my...
Sure.
But
you
I've
want
added
other
some...
people to feel gross while you're
absolutely
trying to be funny. Yeah.
I feel disgusting. Is that okay?
I thought you were thriving. No, so I've added some new... the reason I was late is because I've added some new steps to my shower regime. Jesus. I'm now trying to cram in as many... This is part
as
of...
As many
this,
things into your butt as this, possible.
There's
so many ducks in there.
I'm just like at a point now where I'm just trying to... I'm trying to make my routine more fun just to give my life any sort of... to mix up the monotony.
I think calling it a regime is the first step to something being fun.
Yeah, sure. Is regimen a more fun word?
Yeah.
So this morning in the shower, here's a list of things that I did in the shower today.
Oh my God.
I washed my hair. That's one. I washed my body. That's a regular.
That should be the
that's it. That's a bare minimum.
Can I ask what order did you do that in, Michael? Did you wash your hair and then wash your body, or did you wash your body then wash your hair?
Honestly, as much as I like cramming things in, I also like to be efficient. So, for example, I brush my teeth, and when I brush my teeth while the conditioner was in my hair, allowing it to soak in.
That's really smart. This is now a life hacks podcast.
Yeah, yeah. This is how I get to be at the top of my game every day, being the most efficient person out there. I'm washing my hair. I'm brushing my teeth in the same. Previously, when I brushed my teeth in the shower, I was just using one hand to obviously brush my teeth. This left hand, though, what was it doing? Oh, who knows? Now
I'm so troubled by where this could be going. We've got a brand new guest. She's never done the podcast before.
No, now
I'm shaking with fear
because we have a sort of a chest height soap dish where we put all of our shower unguents in there. I was able to get some body wash with my left hand as I was brushing my teeth this morning, and then was able to brush my teeth and also, like, you know, scrub my body. So it was like a so to answer your question.
But you were late.
Yeah.
So
what's the added step?
So the added step now is that is that on the back end of the shower, I've started doing quite a skincare is regime the right word? Probably not. I've started trying to do some skincare, and I'd lost track of time because I was working out, because I have a little timetable of which days I have to do which things, and I was checking what day it was.
Compared to all this, I think you are legitimately thriving.
Yeah, I really am. This sounds horrible.
You famously have glowing skin, D-Fidge. Do you have an insane skincare regime that
we
have to check the day?
I really don't. I have very sensitive skin, like a little baby, so everything flares me up. So I don't really have a skincare regime.
Oh, okay.
But you did remind me that last week, because so just to sort of, I don't know if you guys feel the same in terms of like mental health, but I've definitely reached that point where everything is funny to me. Like I said earlier, nothing is stressful anymore. Everything is just like a fun, glowing orb sort of aiming at my face, and I, you know, gleefully bat it away. I'm not really sure what that metaphor was. But last week, because I work from home, I didn't have any meetings on, and so I was like, oh, I'm going to put a hair mask in for my dry ends.
What is
a
hair mask?
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that, Michael, because I kind of was like, oh, yeah, hair mask.
If you told me hair mask, I would assume it was a mask made of hair.
Oh my god!
Like a wig, essentially. Yeah, that's what I call
wig.
A wig. I call wigs a hair mask. delightful, but no, it's basically a conditioner, like a deep conditioning treatment. So I wet my hair and then I slicked my hair back, put the conditioner in, and then was going about my day. And then I got a phone call, and it was my boss, and I was talking to her, and then I just sort of absentmindedly rubbed the back of my head and felt that it was wet. And my instant thought was, I had forgotten that I had wet hair. And instantly I was like, oh, I must be bleeding from the scalp.
Of course you're bleeding from the scalp.
Yeah, and then just sort of walked around, just, I had completely finished my phone conversation. It was very successful.
Oh, so you didn't, you weren't like, oh, sorry, boss, real quick, I've got an unidentified head injury. You just kind of filed that away for later.
Yeah, I don't really have a triage system for things anymore. So that's where I'm at.
Everything is triage?
Yeah, everything is sort of fine.
So how long were you investigating the bleeding from the scalp before you remembered that it was actually a hair mask?
Well, I did walk about 8 steps to the bathroom and then was sort of shocked by my own appearance because my hair was so slicked back.
You were looking like a kind of bad guy in an 80s movie.
Oh, yeah. I was like, who's this tough guy in my toilet? I was standing in the toilet.
Okay, well, can I just tell you my final step in the shower?
I want to know what this final step is.
So this is something that I, because I was like, you got to get ready for the podcast and you got to be quick. And I want to know if this is acceptable behavior or not acceptable behavior. Okay.
This is a new segment that we're premiering right now. Acceptable behavior or not acceptable behavior with D-Fidge.
What noise, Michael, can we make if we think it's unacceptable? Do we go,
I guess, bah! Yeah, like, I would say a honk for no. If it's unacceptable, do a honk. And maybe a
goose
cheer
honk?
Or something. What? Yeah, a goose honk for no. And maybe a, what's a, or can you do a horse's neigh for yes?
Okay, yeah? That's confusing because you've got nay for yes.
I know.
That's really confusing.
But that's all right. Well, I trust you. You're both professionals. Okay.
So I'm going to ask you to not make your barnyard animal noise until we've heard it completely and I give us a countdown and then we're going to do our noises together.
Okay.
So it's a nay for yes and a goose honk for no. Michael, yes. This is the first game of Is This Acceptable or Not?
Okay. So I was like, oh, the podcast is happening soon. I wasn't sure exactly what time it was. And I was going to go downstairs and get a glass of water to drink. And I thought, that's going to take extra time. I should hurry this up. So what I did was, as I was like finishing my shower, I turned the shower nozzle to cold. And then I opened my mouth and drank straight from the shower. Now, and I reckon I had probably three swallows. Like, oh.
Like a fucking pelican.
Yes.
Now, so is this acceptable behavior to drink straight from the shower?
I mean, once it's cold. I mean, all right, D,
honk.
Ready? What? I didn't even do that.
I couldn't wait. I'm sorry.
So it's quite a honk there from D Fitch. Ben, were you going to honk as well?
I was going to neigh.
Okay. I could tell that Ben was going to neigh, and so I wanted to get my honk in.
All right. Well, let's Dee, then. Why is it a honk from you?
It's absolutely fucked to do that. I shouldn't have to explain this to you. The opening up your gullet like a big scary snake in the shower while you're already clutching so many different bottles of serums.
Unduant.
Just a very disturbing. It's too much. Too much happening.
Look, Michael, I reckon if we were living in normal times, you would have gotten a honk from me. You know what I mean? I would have been honking there right alongside D. But, you know, whatever works, man. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, sorry. I should give a little bit of context to this. One of the YouTube videos I watched about skincare last week, because now I'm an expert because I've watched one YouTube video, was that you should wash your face. After you've washed your face, you should put some cold water on it in order to close up your pores or some shit. I don't know.
Oh, so you were doing... Because I was going to say my only concern is that you end a lovely hot shower with a horrible cold bit, which to me sounds Scandinavian.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I do that, though. It wakes you up. Mm. It's the best.
So how long do you cold yourself in the shower for? Is it like just a little blast or is it like a minute or something or...
Just like a second. So I'm like full psycho and live in a share house and don't allow myself much pleasure and things. So I always feel really guilty if I have a shower that's longer than like a minute.
Oh,
so
my
I'm like in and out. Like,
wait, why do you? Wait, I don't think I understand that. The guilt you feel over having a shower, is it an environment thing or is it a taking up the shower
I don't want to take up the shower space and I don't want to have like water bills and
sure.
You know, I don't want to be like, la, 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 while other people are, let me in, I'm dirty, you know. Like
your housemate covered in mud having come into the fields.
Absolutely filthy.
Dee, I've got these stink lines coming off me and you're there going, la, la, la.
Yeah, and I've got bubbles everywhere and I've got a little shower cap on and scrubbing my back with one of those heinous brushes.
Do you know, I used to live with somebody and I don't, like, they were like I hasten to add that it's not someone I live with for a long time because anybody I've lived with for a long time has been on this podcast and I don't want people to assume it's
Mark Sutton or something.
Guess who this is.
Sure.
So it wasn't Mark Sutton. Mm-hmm. It was somebody who was like kind of just living with us for a couple of months.
Mm.
And they would never buy toilet paper. And everybody just kind of took it in turns to buy toilet paper. We didn't have a system or anything, but like one day we kind of noticed, hey, this guy hasn't ever bought toilet paper. And really pettily, when the toilet paper ran out one day, I was just like, I'm not going to replace this. There was no toilet paper in the house, right? So I was like, this guy's going to need to do a shit at some point in the next 24 hours. I'm going to hold it in because I'm just so fucking spiteful. And I'm going to wait until this guy has to do it. Anyway, later that day, I hear the guy go into the bathroom. He takes the amount of time that it would take to do a shit, right? Mm-hmm. And then I hear the shower turn on. And he washes his ass in the shower of poops and I guess stomps the detritus down the drain. And he won. I went out and bought toilet paper. I was like,
yeah.
I'm dealing with the Joker here. I'm dealing with Defidge the Joker.
It was me. It was me.
You know what's wild, Ben, is that I'm pretty sure that story's about me. Because
I feel like I've heard of a lot of people having this happen to them.
I feel like, I don't know if that specifically was me, but I know when we were living in Ellen Place in Chippendale, there was, and I had my little shower downstairs. I remember, I don't know if I was the subject of your spite, but I know one time I went into my little bathroom downstairs, the outdoor one, because they made me shower outdoors, D. I had to use the outdoor bathroom.
In fairness, D, that was a purely racist thing.
Yeah, Alex Lee got to use the indoor bathroom because she's only half, but I had to. No, so I remember going in there and realizing there wasn't any toilet paper and then having a shower. And logically it's very clean, it's fine, using soap and whatever. But it did feel truly upsetting and disgusting.
It probably felt a bit French, you know what I mean? That's the worst feeling to have.
Anyway, should we do some? Oh, Dee.
Yes.
First time on the podcast, something we love to ask our guests: have you ever bought or sold anything online?
So I buy things online quite regularly. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy Gumtree, Facebook Marketplace, all those things.
Yep.
And when I moved into this place, I managed to tee it up that all these things that I had bought online were like geographically spaced out, so that me and my friend and our van, we went from my house to all these little trips along the way because I had bought all these new things.
Oh, so planned a route kind of thing.
So my friend, like most people in my life, has ADHD. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So she's very scatterbrained but very helpful. And I was like, right, here's our little schedule. We've got our drop-offs, pick-up time, everything. It's all working out. Got to the final place for a clothes rack, like a wooden open, not a wardrobe, but just like a clothes rack that has like a rail and you can put things on it. And I was like, great, it's $50.
Like a drying rack or like a storage rack?
No, like hanging, yeah, like storage to hang hang my pretty little dresses on.
Sure.
Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry. And anyway, it was just, yeah, I don't have a lot of money, so which is why I was buying all this stuff secondhand or for free. And when me and my friend pulled up to this place, we were like, oh, holy shit, this is a mansion. And we were there. Yeah, it was one of those, like, it had a security thing that you buzzed and it had the big black gates and it was this triple story with the big pillars. It looks like a Kardashian house.
And they're selling stuff on Gumtree. I guess that's how they got the mansion, you know?
That's how you get rich. Exactly, that's how you get mansion money.
Yeah, so I buzzed the little thing and this woman, the woman of the house, came out and she was just obsessed with me. She was like, oh my God. She just couldn't get over. She was like, you don't have movers. Like, you guys are doing this yourself. I think this was her first interaction with someone of the working class.
Sure. Uh-huh. A public facing person.
Yeah, it was fabulous. And so me and my friend were lugging this thing down the twisty front yard steps while she didn't offer to help at all. Asking us questions.
She just kind of Louis Theroux'd you, you know what I mean?
Exactly. She genuinely did. She was like, so you just like, you can just hire a van? it was so good. And we were like sweating and I was trying to be polite, but also I was like, fucking hell, shut up. And we got it in the back and then she took a photo of us.
What?
Putting it in the back. And then when she noticed that I had seen her, she goes, oh, sorry, this is just so funny.
So she just laughed at you. She
just
openly mocked you and laughed you for carrying a clothes rack that you were buying from her.
But then the icing on the cake, I went to get my wallet and I only had $20 notes. So I was like, surely she'll just give this to me for $40, right? Like, surely. Yeah.
What was the agreed price?
$50.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I only had $20 notes. And so I got my wallet out and I was like, oh, well, if this was me, I would just sell it for 40 like all the other pieces of furniture I'd picked up for free were from like other share houses. They were like, you can just have this, man. Like, this is fine. I was like, oh, great. Yeah. We get to the richest lady's house and she was like, I'll just have to get change.
Oh.
Gah.
And up the stairs she went. It was great. And then
she was probably hoping that you would say, keep the change. That's
how
people
she probably was.
She was like, I'm going to I'm going to sit here in a money pit, probably like counting to 50, being like, yeah. 1, 2, 3. Maybe she's gone. Is she gone yet? No, she's not gone. Okay, keep counting.
I think it was great because she'd have a good story to like tell the gals at book club to be like, oh, these poor lesbians came to my house today.
Here's the thing. Obviously, I hate it when I hate this person who you're referring to. I think they suck. I think they're terrible. But it's weird because if that had happened in a retail store, I'd think it was funny. Like if someone went to JB Hi-Fi and bought a television, and then like the 19-year-old shithead at JB Hi-Fi just laughed at them as they tried to carry it into their van.
Yeah, and being like, "What a piece of shit car!"
I'd be like, "That's really funny," but because it's an old rich person, I'm like, "Ah, oh, God, this fucking person."
It was great. Michael, just the whole concept of hire a car was new to her. Yeah. So anyway, I educated her.
It's amazing. It's like, and so you take it for a bit and then you give it back. How delightfully quirky.
Yes, marvelous.
Why don't you just buy it? Just buy the car. Ben, do you have a snack report for us today? I noticed there was something there you were nibbling on.
Well, I'm not nibbling. I'm enjoying a homemade coffee, Michael, because you know, it's lockdown here in Sydney, Australia, and the cases, guys, they're the problem. You know what I mean? If there were less cases of coronavirus, I think a lot of us would be happier.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't want to sound controversial, and I don't want to get all political on the podcast.
So you're
guys.
Anti-coronavirus?
I wouldn't. I mean, like, I'm not pro coronavirus in the way that former guest on the show Guy Montgomery is.
Right. Okay.
But look. So I'm trying to. It's kind of the numbers are growing in the area that I live in, and I'm trying to like go out, even just to get like a takeaway coffee less. I'm trying to make that takeaway coffee feeling at home. So the first thing I've been doing is using old takeaway coffee cups to trick my brain into thinking that I'm...
That is, Ben, that's so sad.
Defidge is thriving.
Yeah, I'm loving life over here. You are eating out of rubbish.
Ben, are you in the... are you reusing coffee cups?
Yeah, man, because I'll go once. I'll go to the cafe once in a day.
Can I then... interest you in buying some coffee cups, Ben?
Steve, I don't know if you're aware, but Michael Hing's family owns how many takeaway coffee cups?
I think there's about 210,000 left. If I move this camera slightly over to this side, you can see just a series of boxes over there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's the fabled boxes.
Yeah. Those are just some of the boxes of cafe accoutrements that my family still has from a cafe we briefly ran for about 3 years.
Well, no, Michael, I don't want them.
You don't want thousands and tens of thousands of coffee cups, Ben?
No, because what I do is I go get my coffee, say, in the morning. And I have my chat with like the barista there, and that's my like human interaction outside of my family for the day. Uh-huh. And I snaffle all that up like a greedy little piggy. Mm-hmm. And then I take my cup home. I drink my store-bought coffee, and then I rinse out like the saddest man alive my paper coffee cup in the sink, put it on the little drying rack, and then when I feel like my second coffee, which I did just before I recorded this podcast, then I pop it in that cup. And my little stupid brain... I found more than anything else, more than everything I've tried to replicate the cafe sort of taste, this thing of putting it in that cup makes my idiot little brain go, oh, I'm having a delicious barista-made coffee. Lucky me, is what I say.
So I guess you're in the denial stage of grief? Is that where you are then?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's difficult when you're in the denial stage of grief because you can't really
acknowledge
you're
in denial.
That you are. Yeah.
Have you thought about getting a keep cup?
No, they don't do keep cups right now. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Oh, you mean the cafes aren't accepting them?
They're not accepting them, but you're right. That like okay. I
you could do it at home
because I'm my own friggin' cafe.
Yeah, and you could write your name on the side. Hey, but you could do both.
Hey, D, sorry. Can I just talk to you for a second? Yeah. I'm just trying to set up a fucking deal right now where Ben buys my coffee cup. So can you shut the fuck up about this key cup, please? Sorry.
So sorry.
I need to offload 210 1,000 disposable coffee cups.
No, I'm aware. I've seen the boxes.
Yeah, and if I it's don't, horrifying. I'm ruined. Okay. I'm so financially ruined. No, it's okay. I know you didn't mean anything by it, but
hey guys, are you done chatting?
Yeah, no, we're good. Hey. Anyway, so Ben, are you thinking about? I think they're not doing keep cups right now. So if you want to buy any of those disposable coffee cups, you could. Yeah,
well, I know a guy.
Oh, do you? Well, see, I don't really trust Michael, but I'm willing to go through you as sort of an agent.
Yeah, it's not Michael. It's actually a different guy. His name
I'll
is
cut you in. I'll cut you in. I'll give you 20%. I'll cut you in. All right, shall we do some classifieds?
Yeah.
Guys, let's get into some ads of people trying to sell stuff. Let's do it.
Do you have one you want to start us off with, Ben?
Guys, this one was posted on our online I just momentarily, and it's weird because I've never really broadcast for the ABC like live like you have, Michael. One thing I've noticed that you're very, very good at is not saying brand names because you just can't do it.
Oh, you're
so,
not meant
like,
to, yeah.
I've noticed that you substitute in really quickly. For some reason in my brain, I thought that's what I was doing and I couldn't say the word Facebook. I can.
What was your Facebook alternative?
I was going to say
social media platform or something?
On our online social media platform, which is just demented.
King, how did you get so good at that? Was it like Ida Buttrose like slaps you on the back of the head until you learn to do it properly, like real quick? She's like...
It's because every time... the rules of the ABC are you are allowed to say brand names if it's relevant to the story, but listeners and viewers don't know that. And so what my the actual thing that the actual Ida Buttrose whack that I get is from literally hundreds of people who are texting. If you say McDonald's, if you're like, I went to Macca's the other day, just 100, you can't say that in the ABC. And it's like, oh, you know the Ed Pulse better than me, a person who has them stapled to my fucking desk. Anyway, it's
do you know that we would often on the checkout, I used to work on a show that was all about consumer affairs and like dodgy companies and stuff. I would say once a week we would get maybe 4 emails from concerned citizens being like, I've noticed that these are the brands that the checkout mentioned on air.
Like, well, yeah, it's because we're tearing them down.
Insane.
We're not doing advertising for them. Look, there is a certain company that's ripping everybody off. We'll let you find out who it is.
Oh, this brand of fruit juice has arsenic in it. Shame we can't say which.
I'm the guy writing this... to complain about the Gruen transfer showing ads.
So this was taken from our blue-themed social media platform.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Our Facebook group.
Yep. Posted by Ben Searle. Thank you, Ben. I think that might be a Hall of Cowards inductee.
Oh, thank you, Ben.
So welcome. And this has a picture of a cat on it that I don't know if it's the cat. It's probably too funny a picture to be this person's cat, I think. But it's a cat with a cone on his head and he looks upset. You can picture it and have a chuckle to yourself. You know what I mean? Imagine that. He's upset.
Sad. That's very sad.
And this is posted in, I think, like a Facebook marketplace-y community thing. Mm-hmm. And it goes like this. Help with cat. Okay, so I have a problem. My cat, Tiffany, loves to be an indoor-outdoor cat. The problem is, every time she goes out, she ends up in a fight that she loses 100% of the time because she is so small and untrained. This is where this ad piqued my interest, Michael.
Okay.
Does anyone have any experience with feline self-defense training? Do you have a feline trainer that you recommend? I feel like that if she just had a few basic skills, she could hold her own a little bit better.
Oof. Okay. So this person is looking for a... Oh, sorry, Ben, you go.
No, you know what? Usually, Michael, I would edit such a stumble out where we both try and talk at once. But you know what? I'm all about being real right now.
Why?
I'm all about authentic. No, I'm lazy.
No, let's make
Michael.
Ourselves feel good.
usually I jot that time code down on my little notebook here with my pencil. But frankly, Michael, it's week 8 of lockdown. People can deal with us talking over each other.
All right. And so this is a man who's looking for, I guess like a Mr. Miyagi for his cat or something.
Mr. Meowgi, perhaps.
Aw, so cute.
Guys, did you hear that? A Mr. Meowgi. I think the Zoom must have dropped out because you're not all celebrating that joke. Mr. Meowgi.
So what was that, Ben?
A Mr. Meowgi.
Oh, got it. Yep,
back
yep.
in the, I think, early 90s or late 80s, there was a very popular...
Dee, are you a cat person? Do you own cats?
I like them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say.
Sure,
don't
okay.
I wish
I had several pets. I lived with my mum last year and she's got a cat.
Because I think I remember you posting a great cat on Twitter a lot.
That would be my mum's cat.
Okay.
Pickles.
Okay. Now,
shout out to Pickles if you're listening.
How is Pickles in the ring? Do you think Pickles could go 12 rounds?
She's a huge... Okay, firstly, she's enormous. Like, she's too big, I would say, in terms of... Like, too long. If that was a unit of measurement for an animal, too long.
Well, she's got that reach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
and
good.
Sort of corgi-ish size, like just a weird big cat. So maybe, like, I'm not sure. She's quite gentle, but I've never tried to fight her.
Well, one of the reasons why this ad really spoke to me is that we have a cat called Kasia. And she is similar. She's too long.
Oh,
she's,
that's right. The cat with the tiny head.
No, that was the cat. Oh, that was a different cat. That was a cat that we had when we were in America. Okay. This is a different cat, a different large cat that's more or less in proportion. So it's not of loafer proportions. It's just a great big cat. And our cat is currently getting the shit kicked out of it by a neighborhood cat called Cuddles. Have I told you guys about this?
Cuddles? The cat is called Cuddles?
The cat is called Cuddles. And it is an evil little bastard. And Cuddles, like, beats the shit out of Kasia. And sometimes will come into our house where my son sleeps and we'll try and get Kasia. So here's what we're looking into. And I should look into how much a sort of cat trainer costs, a cat self-defense trainer costs. And if it's less than this incredibly expensive solution we have, I might take that. There is such a thing, guys, as a Bluetooth cat flap. And here's how that works.
You have to get your cat a smartphone.
Yeah, first of all, you have to buy your cat a little iPhone.
Yeah.
And that's...
that's so
basically,
cute.
It's a cat door that will only open for your cat. And every other cat can't get in.
So how does it know your cat's your cat?
Is it
so
face recognition?
You don't... You just have to teach the cat a little passcode that it books. No, it's most cats, ours is, are microchipped. And so what you do is you install this cat door and then you press some buttons on the cat door so it's in like calibration mode or whatever. And then you scan your cat and you say only this cat, please.
Huh.
Whoa.
It costs hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
And the bully cat would just rip your cat's ears off and then go in.
Yeah. Like
Cuddles.
Like that in the scene of some like a horrible spy film where they cut out another spy's eye and hold it up to the retinal scanner.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
kind
exactly.
of thing. I mean, that
That's
would
actually
do, yeah.
the that is the floor in the security.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow, okay. Do you think there are other uses for... Like, because now that you know that you can just Bluetooth your cat, are there any other situations? Like, could you replace like your Sonos speaker with a cat? Like, you know what I mean?
I don't think that's necessarily. I mean, look, I don't pretend to be a tech wizard, but
Could you get your cat? Could you pair it with your phone and then play Fruit of a Good Home out of your cat? Like, as a, you know,
like it comes out of her little mouth.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, is she making the noise? Like, is she reciting it? What she's hearing?
Or is it just translating?
Is it the voices of our cat doing a defidge Michael Hing and Ben Jenkins impersonation, in which case is it devastating and withering, or is it somehow sort of modulating her little cat vocal cords to some sort of facsimile of us?
I don't like either of those options.
No, I mean, neither of them are good. I think I'll pass on that, Michael. I don't think I'll turn my cat into a Bluetooth speaker, but I appreciate the offer.
Well, would you ever trust, if you met someone who said, as my job, I teach cats to fight, would you trust them? You probably wouldn't. You'd probably think they're some sort of criminal.
I don't think it's possible. I think that's the bottom line, right?
Like, well, hang on. I think you can teach anyone to fight. I don't think you should. I don't think you should, but I think you could. If there can be illegal rings of dog and chicken fighting, I don't know why you couldn't do cats as well.
I just don't think I've read somewhere, and in fairness, I think this was on some like I Love Science account.
Great.
That like it's impossible to tell how intelligent cats actually are because they just refuse to take part in any of the tests. So for me, I think that sort of if Kasia, you know, was sick of getting the shit kicked out of her, I think she probably has it in her kind of power to commit herself to doing some like kind of cat self-defense. If you've ever caught, here's the thing. If you have ever taught a cat to do anything other than eat and sleep and shit, I guess, like you can kind of train cats to shit in a litter box, do get in touch. Because
have you ever taught your mum's cat to do any tricks or anything, Dee?
No, she just absolutely refuses. She took months to like let us pat her.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Right. Okay. So it's very stubborn.
We're currently trying to teach Kasia to not kill our son. Because Moses is just, he's a really, really sweet little boy. And
you
want
to keep him.
Oh, we would love to keep him.
You could do, Ben, is purchase 4 more of these cat doors and put them around Moses and then scan him so then it locks whenever Kasha's nearby. Maybe that'd be helpful.
So he could live in like a little tube.
Yeah, like a tube or a box or something. Yeah, yeah. A box boy.
That's probably the good solution. It's like when Mo is a year old and kind of really destructive and crawling around and sort of, we originally tried to get him a little playpen, and he really hated that. So what we ended up doing is taking everything valuable that we owned and putting it in the playpen, sort of like
just your vases and your like record collection, every fragile thing.
Mo wanted to play a record the other day and he took it out. It was, he doesn't know what he was doing, but for the record, it was born in the USA. Mm-hmm. And he was like, make this make noise. And I was like, well, buddy, the record player's broken, so I can't. And he said, who broke record player? And I said, you did, pal, when you were a baby. And he like thought about that for a while, then toddled off. And then when Anya came into the room, he said, we can't play record because a baby broke it.
Oh, yeah, a baby, buddy, a random baby,
a baby
came in.
Just some baby.
Some fucking baby. Do you have one to share with us?
I do. I really, really do. And I'm not stalling to find the window on my computer.
Well, that's
great.
Here
we go. This is a wonderful one.
Mm-hmm. Was this sent in by anybody?
A long introduction. Oh, yeah. This was sent in by Kieran McConaughey. Thank you, Kieran.
Thank you so much, Kieran. This is from some sort of Reddit thing. Mm-hmm. Title, I used my wife's vibrator to pollinate my tomato plant flowers.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I'm just clearing my throat because we're in hay. We are actually in hay fever season. We've come in. Spring has sprung, etc. I apologize. So this one. Oh, begins great. The title says it all. In which case, I don't need to keep talking. I planted one heirloom tomato plant this year. Not a lot of other flowers around to attack bees. So I researched it and everyone suggested using an electric toothbrush to encourage pollination as it mimics a bee vibrating. And heirloom tomatoes have both male and female parts in each flower. They just need encouragement to drop pollen to the female organ, bracket, a bee buzzing.
Okay.
Well.
Oh.
Dot, dot.
Okay.
we use conventional toothbrushes. So I was sitting here thinking, and I thought, by golly, her little vibrator would work perfectly. Her, just straight away, her vibrator. No introductions to the female character here. So here I am, 2 months ago, buzzing every flower on the plant with her vibrator. And now we have an absolute shit ton of vibrator tomatoes. And yes, I washed it afterwards.
Okay.
So what do we think about that?
That's the whole thing?
There's one final line. Do you have it there?
My wife didn't know I did this, but was amazed at my green thumb.
So he kept it secret. Kept it secret.
Is this in Am I the Asshole? Or is this like...
This is off my chest is what this is.
Is that like a confessional? Is that like a little confession?
I guess so, yeah. We're
not being called to honk or nay about this.
No, although if I was to honk or nay, I would say, broadly speaking, nay, but specifically not talking about it with your partner is a big honk from me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think secrecy gets a honk.
Yeah.
Dee, the innovation, a nay.
If your partner did this, would you be upset? Would you be impressed?
No, I wouldn't be upset. I would want them to tell me.
Mm.
Yeah.
But
I guess you'd want them to tell you if they did anything with any intimate toy you've got.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and just basically anything that's going to go inside of my body at some stage, I would like a little bit of a green light as to the hygiene and everything would be nice. But in terms of an innovation, also I'm learning just from reading this. I feel as though I am now an expert in pollination.
I
thought the bees. I didn't know that it was the bees just kind of mucking around with the flower that pollinated them. You know what I mean?
I think this flower is specific for that reason. I think usually they dip themselves in the pollen or whatever, and then they fly off to another flower and they do it that way. But I think this one, I think they're saying this heirloom tomato is special and is remarkable in that sense.
Okay. Because I did not. I thought if the bees can just be replaced with dildos. I can stop worrying about the bees vanishing. You know what I mean? As long as we've got a fairly good supply.
Similar sort of noise even that they make.
Yeah. Well, that's why I assume it's working.
I guess my big question is if you didn't know this, right? If you didn't know the specific reproductive elements of an heirloom tomato plant and you looked over your fence... and saw a man just going hammer and tong on some flowers with a dildo. Oh, sorry, with a vibrator.
I guess it depends what it looks like, though. Because some of them are very subtle.
That's true. If it's
it
just
could
like
just be
little...
like, you wouldn't even notice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
I think you would be like, the that looks like a dildo, but the most likely thing, because this man is waving at a tomato plant, is that it is not a dildo, that it is some sort of tomato wand. Do you know what I mean?
But maybe even if it was the most horrifically shaped, violent-looking vibrator in the market, maybe it's just more about, the confidence in which the gardener is doing the action, and then that would make the neighbours, you know what I mean?
So
like,
he's
just bluffing, completely bluffing. Yeah, it is. It is. So much is about confidence. I'm writing that down for later. Tell myself.
A friend of mine recently purchased, Theraguns? They're sort of a massage.
Oh, those massage guns?
Massage guns.
Yes.
You see them advertised. I have no idea about their efficacy, but they sort of are a... They're sort
are
of like
secret,
a,
are they secret vibrators? Is that their deal?
No. Well, here's... It's funny you should say that, Ben. Because my friend had one and they brought it in to work and they were showing everyone with it. And then someone sent me a message afterwards being like, is that okay? Are you allowed to just have that out? It feels like bringing it to work is very unprofessional. Thinking that it was a sexual aid. And what's funny about this is that it punches so hard and so vigorously that just the idea of bringing a Theragun anywhere near your genitals, anyone's genitals, is like... quite horrifying. So then I Googled, has anyone tried to do this? And I saw, I would say, quite an upsetting video on Pornhub of a man just...
Sorry, did you do this at work?
Yeah, but I was on my phone and on
I was on incognito mode.
Yeah. You also got to know that the building's empty.
That's true.
So, sure. I don't regularly look at pornography at work, but this I was my
hey,
interest
man,
was peaked.
That's great.
I saw I would say about 4 seconds of a video of a man just absolutely pummeling his dick with a Theragun.
Oh.
And really at one point feeling both the agony and ecstasy of, I guess this person was particularly into pain, but they were crying and weeping, but also really loving it and just pounding themselves in the dick. And it was quite humorous.
It was quite humorous, you say.
It was pretty good.
Pretty horrified even hearing that story.
Yeah, Ida Buttrose, it was quite humorous. Ida, why are you looking at me like that? It was quite humorous.
Is there CCTV footage of you somewhere in an empty ABC office watching this on your phone?
Probably.
Good.
But I think that would be... If you watch the silent CCTV footage,
yeah, in grainy black and white,
you wouldn't actually see the email that my friend sent me.
That
had the misunderstanding. So what you would see is my friend showing me their massage gun, and then me immediately, immediately googling, "Can you masturbate with a Theragun?" and watching a porn video.
Exactly.
There's a whole series of these. You know, somebody brought in a new sweater and showed you the new sweater, and then you go that.
You're like, excuse me, I need to go. I need to be somewhere.
Yeah. To look at if this jumper is something I can jerk off with.
Well, if anyone...
You're always Googling that, but yeah, about anything that anyone sends into the station. Can I jerk off with this?
Oh, if look, anyone from ABC
Sharon,
Security...
Sharon baked cupcakes.
Oh, can I jerk off with this?
If anyone from the ABC security team has seen that footage, I just want to assure you it was for comedy purposes and was not erotic.
You can't say that for everything, Michael. You can't just say it was for comedy purposes and everything.
Michael, do you have one to take us home with?
I do. This one was sent in by... Oh, I've closed it now. Oh, I've fucked this, haven't I?
See, D, Hing's been doing this for a decade and he struggles to find the windows, so...
Well, that's good.
This was sent in by... Miletta Rien. Thank you, Miletta. Hall of Cowards famed.
Really?
Rien. Yeah, she spent a bit of time in the Hall of Cowards. She's in and out. Can I post this?
Do you reckon people ever go, Jean Miletta Rien?
I reckon we've done that on this podcast before. I'm going to put it in our little chat because there's a bit to it and I want you to be able to follow along.
Sure.
So let me throw it into our Facebook chat, I reckon. That's probably the easiest one to do. This is taken from Am I the Asshole on Reddit. Am I the asshole for being uncomfortable with my girlfriend being naked around her dog? Okay, so this is a person who wants to know if it's okay for them to be uncomfortable that their girlfriend is naked around their dog. My 33 male girlfriend, 30 female, hates clothes to the point where she has actively researched nudist colonies, and if it wasn't for having to occasionally have to go into the office, she would have moved there long ago, long before she met me. She's always naked around the house, which for me, it's hella nice. She's got a rockin' bod.
Sure. Oh, yeah, sick, bro. Yeah, nice.
The issue is her 2-year-old. Yeah, I know. This guy sucks. Already, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
The issue is her 2-year-old dog. The dog is super cute and fluffy,
and
great.
Also naked. Can you believe it?
Yeah, and this also dog's got a rockin' bod. super cute, fluffy, great Pyrenees. Very well
they're
trained.
They're huge. They're real big.
Are they? Yeah, 10 out of 10, a good girl. My girlfriend...
Is there a cartoon or fictional dog that I can be thinking of that's a Pyrenees?
I think it's bigger than, say, Beethoven, the Saint Bernard.
That's an enormous dog.
That's huge.
Because these guys, I learned about them when I went to the Pyrenees, obnoxious travel story, because we cannot ever travel again.
Mm-hmm.
They were bred to kill bears.
Oh! Goodness.
And I met one when I was there, and it was big, white, fluffy, like it just almost as though someone had bleached a golden retriever, like bleached it very blonde, and then blown it up.
I've just sent a photo.
Honey, I blew up the dog.
I've just sent a photo to our chat of a great Pyrenees that is, and I don't mind saying this, as big as a man.
Yeah.
It's
so when
it's,
you say it's, about as big as Beethoven, you mean both the dog and the composer?
Yes.
Um. So my girlfriend was there when her friend brought the heavily pregnant mother of the dog home from the pound, was there at the birth. We fell in love with her immediately. She sees the dog as the closest thing she'll ever have to a kid due to medical mm-hmm. issues. Great. Love mm-hmm. that you're outing this specific context of your girlfriend's. Oh, boy.
Right. Yep. Already. All
right. I mean, most people love their dog, right? You don't need this big backstory about, like, yeah, she was there at the birth. She saw it come out of the dog's pussy and they saw all, you know, you don't need that. You don't need to say that. Everything's fine.
However, my girlfriend is just always naked at home, playing with the dog, naked, cuddling on the couch, naked. She keeps a slip dress by the door for walks, but otherwise, naked. And it's weird, right? I tried to be subtle, but finally the other day, I sat down with her and pointed out that, yes, she's trained the dog not to sniff human butts.
Okay.
But it's still something out of an illegal adult.
Could not train a cat to do that. Mm. Just saying.
Cats, no.
Do they? They love it. Oh, no, you're saying because they don't like training, not because they love human butts. Right, yeah.
No, I think they're pretty much indifferent. But if they wanted to do it, they would, and there's no power on earth that could stop them.
It's like something out of an illegal adult movie for her to be naked with an animal all the time. I don't think
the phone, buddy.
Anyway, wow. She got pissed and asked me to leave. I tried to talk some sense into her. Oh, boy. Red flags all over this. But she wasn't listening to it. I finally left her house, and once I got back to my apartment, I tried texting one of her friends, but she blew up at me saying I was an ass. My girlfriend is now radio silence. Am I the asshole here?
Okay, that's a honk for yes, you are the asshole, and a nay for no, you're not. 1, 2, 3.
Honk.
That was
you are
beautiful.
The asshole.
That was a beautiful sound we all made. This is a fairly open and shut case.
Yeah, there is one thing I find quite funny about this was there is an addendum. So you know how sometimes when someone posts something on Reddit. And then they go away for a bit and then everyone comments on it. And then they'll edit their original post to be like, hey, guys, just to answer a few questions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they've come back a couple of hours later to edit. Wow, I stepped away to make dinner and this blew up. I wasn't expecting this many things. So to answer the questions, no, I'm not a troll. And no, I'm not jealous of a literal female dog.
Only because it's a female dog.
That's, I know my girlfriend isn't doing anything, but it's still weird. I do see being naked as sexual, since the only times I'm fully naked is when I'm showering or, well, having sex. I respect that my girlfriend doesn't feel the same way, but I'll get up to use the bathroom or something and come back into the dog in my spot on the couch, asleep with her head in my girlfriend's naked thigh. This is weird.
He's just describing normal dog behavior.
Mm. Yeah.
Like sitting on the couch and enjoying a pat.
That is, it's pretty tragic. Like, I am not a nudist by any stretch, but, like... To have
you are
that
naked
attitude.
Right now, though, to clarify.
Okay.
Like, you are...
Yeah, but that's because all my clothes are dirty.
And Anya's in the shower singing, so he can't clean them.
Exactly. It's very inconsiderate.
Ben cleans his clothes in the shower, just so we can paint that picture.
I do. If anybody can think of a better way, I'm all ears. But to have the worldview of just, like, naked, like in a porno, I get it, is pretty tragic. You know what I
also like that he didn't call it a porno. He said illegal adult movie.
Well, I think that he's implying that it was an adult movie with a dog. That's what he was implying. It's his mind went to places that unfortunate places. I think if you are a nudist, you'd probably want to date. I would imagine you'd want to date someone who's also a nudist, wouldn't you?
Or not a freak, like this guy appears to be.
Yes, absolutely. No, absolutely, absolutely. And I think also if you're dating a nudist, you got to love them for who they are, nude and all. Like you can't be like, I love looking at your rockin' bod around the apartment because you're so hot or whatever.
Because it's hella nice.
Yeah, hella nice.
Hella nice.
Hella nice bod.
But you got to put on clothes when the dog's around because, like, the dog lives there too. Like, you know what I mean? It feels...
The dog would not feel shame.
Because the dogs did not eat of the forbidden apple. And so they don't have the shame about their nakedness. And I think that's a good thing.
I think it's beautiful and they shouldn't. Because maybe we should all be nudists now.
All this guy really needs to do is acknowledge, hey, this is a me problem. Like, because you
and
know
work
what?
Work on it yourself. Yeah. You know?
Like, when he said, is it wrong that I'm uncomfortable about this? No, there's nothing inherently wrong with you being uncomfortable about this. Like, people get uncomfortable about all sorts of things.
Of course.
It's like, you can't say that he's not. And that's like, that's not the problem.
That's not. That's very validating of you to say that about his feelings.
But the problem is not going, well, this is clearly a me problem, and this is something that I need to work on. Not being like, this is weird, right? This is a her thing. This is weird.
Yeah.
I'm really steamed about this, guys.
Yeah.
And he sees being naked as fully like sexual when even when he's showering.
That's the thing. Yeah. That really leapt out at me. You know, like, you know, whether having sex or showering or jerking off in the shower, everything about being naked.
Gee, when you just then people wouldn't know this because they can't see the video, but when you said maybe we should all be nudists, you sort of looked pensively to the sky as though you were like, I think we should.
Well, I think a lot about shame. And sometimes I get distracted by the very concept of shame, and I think I definitely did actually trail off for a little bit there.
Because it looked like what you were thinking was, maybe this will be the solution to all of my problems. That's kind of the look that was on your face, is if I became a nudist.
I'm so desperate for that one thing. I'm waiting for it.
Maybe this will be the silver bullet that fixes everything. Like for me, the silver bullet is faking my death and moving to China, obviously. But for you, potentially the silver bullet is becoming a nudist and moving to a colony.
Yes, exactly. No shame, no clothes.
I've only been nude. I've only been publicly nude. I can think once in my life, which is when we were in like an after school, like after high school. We all my friends and I went on a trip to the South Coast, and we went swimming in the river, and we were all like, "This would be fun to do some skinny dipping." And so I only did, and it wasn't like I don't think it was like for me. It certainly wasn't sexy.
Well, you were nude, so obviously it was.
But. And so the property that we were on sort of backed onto this river, and we'd spent most of the day hitting tennis balls across the river, like seeing if we could hit tennis balls across the river and swimming to get them.
You're playing fetch with yourself.
Basically, yeah.
Hing grew up in the Depression.
I was born a dog,
were these
basically.
People or dogs that you were with? Like
they were dogs, it was part of my news call. Anyway, so someone said, we've all been drinking, and someone's like, "Hey, let's all get nude." And we were like, "Oh, I don't want to not be a square. I'll get naked too." But what
I be a square, I think.
Yeah.
Peer pressure. This is a classic example of peer pressure.
Yeah, and so basically, I guess I'd never skinny dipped before, so I didn't know the I guess there's sort of for people for
I'm so intrigued, Michael. This is wonderful.
Where are you going with this?
For amateur skinny dippers, right? I guess when you're going in and out of the water, there's sort of a modesty thing where the water's meant to hide your shame, right? So when you're in the water, no one can really see your bits and stuff, and that's kind of everyone. You sort of forget everyone's naked. That's one of the points of skinny dipping, right?
I think it feels like you think that there's this manual that exists somewhere that's guide to skinny dipping, and
that
you feel
sort of explains
like,
most of Michael's confusion about most things.
Yeah. I didn't get to read enough books about this before I did it. And so everyone else went down to the river and was skinny dipping. And what they'd done is they walked down to the river and then stripped down near the river in order to and then got in the water. They said they were going to do that, and I didn't want to leave my clothes down by the river because I thought they A might get wet or B might get dirty. So I was in the house and stripped off naked, right? to walk down to the water to go skinny dipping. But one of my friends, he'd stayed behind, and he hadn't gone skinny dipping.
He was going to put on your clothes and do funny impersonations of you when you were at the river,
which is the nightmare scenario.
So he hadn't gone down to the river to go skinny dipping, and I don't know if he knew that everyone was going skinny dipping. But I walked out of my room just fully naked on a group trip, and my friend was like, "What are you doing?" And then I was like, "Oh, I'm going down to the river to go skinny dipping." And he was like, "No, you meant to wear your clothes down to the river and then take them off." And I was like, "Well, then they're going to get dirty." And then I got quite defensive
Michael,
while naked.
Okay, Michael, I take it back. You need a manual.
I actually take it back. That was a freak thing to do. to pre-nude yourself before the skinny dipping. That's just called being naked in a house. That's not skinny dipping.
I know. And being naked in the house feels bad. I felt bad
about
that.
Hey, guys, we're just skinny dipping in the kitchen right now.
Yeah, I'm just skinny dipping by myself in my room. That's just called being naked. It's not skinny dipping.
And it's a very shameful thing to do.
And you should feel ashamed about that.
And I do.
D-Fidge, it's been so great to finally have you on the show. Where can people find more of what you do?
Thank you so much. This was so fun. People can follow me on Twitter. I am at Figgled, or on Instagram at Fidge, or read Frankie Magazine and The Guardian and lots of other things.
Your Twitter is one of the best Twitters, Dee. I mean, I know you probably get this a lot, but it's one of the all-time great Twitters.
It is one of the best Twitters around. And Twitter,
and it's been a heavy hit. And it's been a heavy hitter for years. Like, I remember before I knew you personally, I followed you on Twitter being like, wow, this person's Twitter is really funny.
Wow, and, thank you for saying that.
But I should say, because when we talked to Brandy Jensen, she said something that, like, I think we should ask most guests. Do you want more followers? Because Brandy was like, I don't really want more followers.
It's true. It's the worst thing. It's actually the worst thing. The more followers you get, the more... I don't want to say stupid head dum-dums. Like, I don't want to say that phrase.
Sure.
But, like, if you tweet a joke, you just, you know, it's not a joke anymore. It's very serious and deserves really serious replies. Yeah. So I've been getting a lot of that, which is just really good, which is why I've become the Joker.
So go to Figgled, have a read of her tweets, but don't follow her.
Don't
you know what I mean?
Just log in. Don't you dare fucking follow me.
or you can give her a follow and then just get caught in a tedious argument in the comment section of the tweet. Just really back and forthing over the veracity of, again, a joke. A fun joke that we've all agreed is a fun joke.
Never made a joke in my life. Not about to start now.
What was the last thing you wrote for Frankie Magazine?
Oh, God. I should know this, shouldn't I? Oh, I think it was a debate. It was like their great debate piece, and it was about it was actually about showering.
Oh, and about whether or not it's okay to open your gullet?
Yeah, actually, that was the exact topic. And I said, no, that's for fucking little freaks with too many coffee cups.
I just looked up your...
To get as a hard copy delivered to you, I believe. But also they have a website. It's a great mag with like so many good writers write for Frankie. Eleanor Robertson writes for Frankie.
Lots of fun.
I just went to your Twitter page just to be like, ah, this is such a great Twitter page. And one of the recommended follows off the back of it is, you know that weird city they're building in the middle of the Middle East? Neom?
Oh, the one that's like just a line?
Yeah, that's one of like the associated follows of you for some reason. I don't know.
Am I a city?
No, well, you're I don't know. Are you?
Am I?
Have you been in a city this whole time? Yeah, so anyway, that's a fun thing that I just noticed. One of your recommended follows, along with you, hey, you like D-Fidge, you might also like Neom, a vision of what the future will be.
I love that so much. Guys, that's fantastic.
It's been a lot of fun. If you like what me and Hing and our guests do and want to chuck us a couple of bucks, please head to our Patreon. You know what I did, Michael, when I set up our Patreon? I set no minimum amount because I didn't know how to do that. So if you're flush, which is probably pretty unlikely given the circumstances in the world, but if you do want to chuck us a bit of money to help us make what we make, you can go to Patreon and just type in FTAGH and you'll find our page there. Thank you to everybody who already does that. It's so wonderful and generous and not a little surreal, but we love it.
And thank you to everyone who's been sending us clips of their favorite Free to a Good Home moments for the potential use in our one-time-only printing of a vinyl best of that we're going to make. It's going to financially ruin us. It's going to cost us so much money to do. But I think it'll be funny if enough people buy it. Anyway, thank you to everyone sending those. Please keep sending them because it's really helping me, sort through the archives. Ben, do you have anything else to plug?
No, I got a newsletter. I said no and then immediately plugged, but I got a newsletter called The Idiot Report that you can go to idiotreport.com, and I'll email you every now and again with something that I've written. It might be an essay. It might be a fun little short story, so you can go there and do that. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye. If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga,
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.